The year of living Christianly. I thought I might help frame this title of the sermon with some comments about A.J. Abrams' book called The Year of Living Biblically. And the subtitle was One Man's Humble Quest to Follow the Bible as Literally as Possible, released in 2006, 2007. Has anyone read that? Just show of hands. There's a few. Okay, great. I'll look forward to some follow-up discussion with some of you who've read that. I was listening to a few interviews that he had done, and one of the best ones was on a website called TED.com. And so if you want to hear fascinating interviews and people talking about new ways of seeing the world or understanding the world, TED.com is a great website. But A.J. Abrams does a 20-minute piece there, and he shares a bit of his story about why he wrote this book called The Year of Living Biblically. And he said there are two reasons. One is that he grew up with no religion at all and was just curious to explore religion because he calls religion one of the defining issues of our day. And the second reason was that he was concerned about religious fundamentalism. And he said in the USA, 45 to 50% of American Christians take the Bible literally. And so he wanted to, for 1 year, follow every rule in the Bible. So he got lots of translations of Bibles, and he compiled this list of 700-plus rules that he wanted to try and do his best to keep for 1 year. And he says his life was changed. And he talks about how he felt better and cleaner living this biblical life. He talks about different takeaway lessons, and I'll name a few of those lessons. Number one, and you might agree with these lessons, you might disagree. Number one, he says, don't take the Bible literally. It'll make you crazy. There's just so many things that go on that if you try to follow all 700-plus of those rules in 1 year, it's crazy-making stuff. Number two, he says, thou shalt give thanks. He admits he's agnostic, but he said that there was something about cultivating this heart of gratitude 365 days. Number three, thou shalt have reverence. He talks about his journey as an agnostic to being a reverent agnostic. He said, I don't know whether there's a God, but there's something important and beautiful about sacredness. And his life was changed by Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath for 1 year, and he said it transformed the way he worked and the way he rested. Number four, thou shalt not stereotype. In the midst of trying to live biblically for 365 days, he met lots of different religious groups. And he actually makes a comment that he met some evangelical Christians that he liked. Number five, thou shalt not disregard the irrational. He talks about how he grew up with this scientific worldview, and he was shocked to learn and experience how much of his life was controlled by irrational forces, forces that he could not explain. And number six, thou shalt pick and choose. He says, you need to pick and choose. It's like a cafeteria. And he says, maybe you've had bad meals in cafeterias, but I've also had good meals in cafeterias. And so he talks about choosing compassion and tolerance and loving your neighbor versus intolerance and violence. My sense is that Abrams had a great experience, and he wrote a best-selling book to boot. So, FBC Edmonton, have I got a fascinating challenge for us for the next year as we go back to church. The year of living Christianly. What if we, for 365 days, took on this challenge to live Christianly? To wake up every morning and say, I'm going to be Christian in the way I live. Well, your response might be, Ryan, don't we already do that? We are First Baptist Church. Our vision statement is seeking the peace and well-being of the city. Okay, that might be fair enough. Some of you might respond and say, well, I don't even trust the word Christian anymore. The way I see the word Christian slapped on different people and different products, anything labeled Christian, I'm not touching. Fair enough. Maybe you're more the keen student and you're saying, Ryan, tell me how to do this. Narrow this down for me. What are you saying? Is there a formula? Is there a textbook? Well, we could go lots of directions, but I do want to just focus us a bit this morning and suggest a few ways that we might live Christianly and engage in the year of living Christianly here at First Baptist Church. First off, I want to talk about the now and triad. Over the past year, as you've gotten to know me, you've probably heard me talk about Henry Nouwen and how one of his books, In the Name of Jesus, Reflections on Christian Leadership, really forms the foundation of my understanding of how to be the people of God. And so, first off, I might say that the Nouwen triad might offer some things for us as we live Christianly. Nouwen talks about listening prayer, confession, forgiveness, and theological reflection. I'm just going to touch on those short manner here. Listening prayer. Maybe for us as the people of God for the next 365 days, we could simply be a people who pursue listening prayer. Nouwen talks about this as being a mystic, a person whose identity is rooted in God's first love. He says listening prayer is dwelling in God's presence, listening to God's voice, looking at God's beauty, touching God's incarnate word, and tasting fully God's infinite goodness. Listening prayer is more than just bringing our grocery list of prayers to God. It's dwelling, it's listening, it's touching, it's looking, and tasting. And interestingly enough, I've had several conversations over the past 2 weeks about prayer with people in our congregation, just saying, what's up with prayer? And they're just re-engaging prayer. And we've been redoing our chapel. And I've been hoping that that would be a space, a sacred space for prayer. And so whenever I get an opportunity or we have groups who are gathering here, I encourage them to pray and fill that place with prayer. And again, not just grocery list prayer, but just sit and listen to what God might be speaking to you or us as a church. The second part of Nouwen's triad is confession, forgiveness. And Nouwen reminds us that we need to continually be this community that confesses our sin, our shortcomings, our weaknesses to each other, and then also forgives each other. And I think corporately we do a decent job of that from Sunday to Sunday. I've already talked about our confession prayer that's a part of the rhythm of our church. But also individually, what does it mean to be this confessing, forgiving community? And we live in a culture that is proud. And I think that affects us because we become prideful too. And we're not prone to generosity and humility. We're prone to power and strength and control. But what if in the next 365 days, living Christianly meant confessing to each other our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our imperfections, maybe how we've wronged one another, and then audibly hearing from each other words of forgiveness? And that can be as simple as, I forgive you. And that might take time. That's a process. It doesn't just magically happen. But maybe in the year of living Christianly, we can work on that. I think we're too quick when someone says, I'm sorry about such and such. We just go, oh, don't worry about it. Didn't bother me. But to live Christianly means to not just shrug it off, but say, thanks for apologizing. I forgive you. I release you from that. The third part of Nouwen's triad is theological reflection. And theological reflection sounds like a really lofty word, but really, I think the nuts and bolts of theological reflection are just simply living our life story in the midst of God's story. And so as we get to know God's story more through being in the Word, even as we are at this seminar next Saturday, reading and speaking the text, having a better understanding for God's story, I think then we can better theologically reflect and live into the story. And that simply means placing things in our lives before God's great story. And so maybe it's a life decision, or maybe it's a relationship, or maybe it's trying to discern something, but trying to place that in the midst of God's story, in the biblical story, and not always working from your gut or just conventional wisdom, but allowing God to speak to you through his word and even this community of faith. So there's a few things to get us started. I'm calling that the Now and Triad. Being a community that pursues listening prayer, that confesses and forgives, and also does theological reflection. The second triad I want to put out there for living Christianly is the wisdom triad. And if you've been with us over the past few weeks, you know that we've been walking and preaching and teaching through the book of James. And so now we land into James chapter 3. But the wisdom triad that I want to put in the light of reading all of James is simply this. Let's be a community that keeps short accounts, that speaks truth in love, and that nurtures generous dialogue. So, keep short accounts, speak truth in love, and nurture generous dialogue. And I just want to flesh that out a bit. Someone this past week said, what do you mean by that, Ryan? Like, what do you mean? I think keeping short accounts simply means getting to conflict quicker and not letting things fester or harbor. If something's wrong, then go for it. Address it. Name it. Speaking truth in love, that usually comes with keeping short accounts. If you're going to keep short accounts, you usually need to speak. And what we tend to be brutal at is when we speak, we don't speak truth in love. Either we blast people with the truth, you or we love each other so much that we just tell them so they're so great and fabulous that we couldn't possibly think that there's anything wrong in our relationship. But speaking truth in love holds that intention and helps us to speak truthfully with the spirit of love and also speak lovingly with this message of truth. Nurturing generous dialogue. I'm learning that the beauty and bane of our existence here at First Edmonton is that we're so different. And yet over 100 years, we've been this community of faith that's gathered week after week, and we've tried to be a blessing to the city. And I'm curious to hear feedback, maybe during coffee time, if you agree with me. Because I think there's just something in the DNA of our faith community that makes us diverse and unique. And so there's differences. And in the life of the church, things get crazy when you start hearing how different each other are. But if we're trying to live Christianly and nurturing generous dialogue, I think we might be better able to talk to each other. And though we might have different perspectives on faith, on God, on freedom, on righteousness, we could still try to live Christianly and nurture generous dialogue. And I believe that in the next decade, the churches who will actually continue to have a meaningful presence in the city, in this nation, are churches that can nurture dialogue with each other, within their communities, with other denominations, with other community organizations, and even with other faith groups in their city. And I hope that we as First Edmonton, because of our slightly neurotic DNA, can actually be good at that and try to talk. As I've said before, we're a messy bunch. We've got strengths, we've got weaknesses, we've got addictions, we've got neuroses, we've got ideas, we've got ideals. But it's not enough for us to just be a generation of doing church where we worship Sunday after Sunday and then just leave it alone. We need to talk. We need to hear each other's life stories. How did so-and-so get to that place of belief? What's the life story behind that? And they seem so blank, and yet when I hear their life story, I understand more of why they're who they are. So that's the wisdom triad. Keep short accounts. Speak truth in love. Nurture generous dialogue. Finally, I want to say that as we live the year of living Christianly, can we be a people who choose blessing instead of curse? And that's where James 3 comes in. James 3 really goes for it. As I said a couple of weeks ago, Luther calls this the epistle of straw, because it's just too much practical Christianity and not enough Jesus' passion and resurrection. But I want to play a little Three Little Pigs thing here and say, no, this isn't the Epistle of Straw. This is the Epistle of Brick. Because if for 365 days we use our tongues for blessing instead of curse, I'd like to suggest that we will build a brick fortress of love. And I know that sounds sappy, but read verse 9. With our tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. I think we could build a church on this. Moira's told our kids this morning, and I'm sharing that with us too. Let's be a place of blessing versus curse. What if behind closed doors we chose to bless our enemies rather than curse them? What if in the quiet of our hearts we chose to bless those who are different from us rather than cursing them? What if in our prayer meetings and our weekly coffees together or in our small groups, in our church buildings or outside of our church buildings, we chose to bless one another and cultivate gratitude for the hundreds of things that are going right in our community versus the three or four things that just drive us bonkers? James 3:2 leapt from the page when I first read it this week. He writes, all of us make many mistakes. That ought to put us on pretty level playing ground. But it shouldn't keep us from doing whatever we can do to make this church or community or small groups or our neighborhoods places of blessing versus curse. I often read this blessing quote at weddings from Henry Nouwen, and he says, to bless means to say good things. We have to bless one another constantly. Parents need to bless their children their parents, husbands their wives their husbands, friends their friends. In our society so full of curses, we must fill each place we enter with our blessings. We forget so quickly that we are God's beloved children and allow the many curses of our world to darken our hearts. Therefore, we have to be reminded of our belovedness and remind others of theirs. Whether the blessing is given in words or with gestures, in a solemn or an informal way, our lives need to be blessed lives. So, as we close our time, the context for living Christianly, you might ask, is this faith community. If you're calling First Baptist Church your faith community, That's the context where we live this life out. But we also live it outside of this faith community the other 6 days of the week. And so for the next 3 weeks, you're going to have this on the back of your bulletin, my reflections on the both and church. Being a church that both gathers for worship Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in this place, but then being a church that the other 6 days of the week is trying to seek the peace and well-being of the city as a Jesus-shaped community. So that's the context in this both and church, where we do it here, but then we also do it in all the places that we're sent to the other 6 days of the week. So I hope today you might join me in this year of living Christianly. And there's seven things, not 700 like Abram's had to do, seven. Listening prayer, confession, forgiveness, theological reflection, keeping short accounts, speaking truth in love, nurturing generous dialogue, and being a people of blessing. So as we close with a moment of quiet prayer, I'll just encourage you to engage in the year of living Christianly. And maybe there's one or two of these seven that just really grips you, and would you respond to God in prayer? And then I'm going to close with a prayer written by John Henry Newman and loved by Mother Teresa. So half a minute of silent prayer, and then I'll close us with a closing prayer. Dear Lord, help me to spread your fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me, and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only you, O Lord. Stay with me, then I shall begin to shine as you do, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Lord, will be from you. None of it will be mine, it will be you shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by my example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love my heart bears to you. Amen.